Welcome to episode 10 of the Skip to the End podcast. This is our Christmas special, our Christmas spectacular.
Merry Christmas!
Hello! We have just got back from the cinema. We've been to see Dumb and Dumber 2, which of course is the sequel to Dumb and Dumber. I'm not going to lie to you, we've had a few beers. It's Christmas!
Yeah.
We're also going to talk about our top three Christmas movies of all time. We're going to talk about movies that we always watch at Christmas, even though they're not necessarily Christmas movies. We've got a brand new feature called The Rewatch, where we all got together to watch Die Hard.
So we're going to talk about Die Hard.
We've got competitions, we've got prizes to give away, and we've also got Secret Santa. So it's a pretty full show.
And as always, this is Ben.
I'm Ben. You're
Adam.
And who's he?
Mark with a big full sack.
Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho. The topic we set ourselves last week was our top three Christmas movies, as this is the Christmas special after all. So, Mark, do you want to lead us off?
Yeah, why not? The first film I thought about was Bad Santa.
Good choice.
Yep,
good
choice. Very good film. Have any of you guys seen the extended Is It Bad as Santa as well?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen the extended one.
It's very, very good. But we all know how good Billy Bob Thornton was in that film. Yeah. He kind of went away for a while, didn't he, and didn't do much. And then we suddenly had this kind of comedy from him.
He, for some reason, believed himself to be a musician and went off and made a lot of really bad albums. And then realised, oh, wait, no, I'm an actor. And then did Bad Santa.
Well, anyway, he came back and it was a great film. Really, really funny. And it's, after all the kind of research of Christmas films, I actually did think this is probably, yeah, it's my third favourite.
It's actually my third favourite as well. I've got Bad Santa down as number three. I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's really dark. I think it's really funny. I think it's actually quite heartwarming as well in a weird, twisted way. Because he really does care for that kid.
Yeah.
And he goes out of his way to make sure that he's happy.
Yeah.
And but it's dark. Like, isn't there a scene where he goes to kill himself?
Yeah.
Doesn't he try and kill himself in the car?
Yeah.
It's a dark, dark film. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think we kind of thought about our top Christmas films, and I think we knew there was going to be some overlap potentially. So luckily, my third one isn't that, and Bad Santa isn't one of my choices. Ben's probably going to roll his eyes at this, but my third choice is A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
That was the sound of an eye roll.
I love Muppet's Christmas Carol. It's the standard Christmas Carol story. I've been watching it since I was a kid. I love Gonzo as Charles Dickens.
That was a good Dickens.
And the weirdest thing about this entire film is Ebenezer Scrooge is played by Michael Caine. And Michael Caine puts in one of his best acting performances opposite Muppets. It's
even
really
better than Interstellar.
Well, that was opposite Muppet as well at times.
Nice.
But no, it really... I mean, Kermit plays Bob Cratchit.
I like how you think that Kermit's a real person. That Kermit is playing a character.
Next week, Kermit on the episode.
Kermit plays Bob Cratchit. His nephew Robin, who looks set to take over the Empire for a while, plays Tiny Tim.
His voice really annoys me.
He's done very well for a frog.
I know, but...
Pretty good.
But yeah, Muppet's Christmas Carol, I love everything about it. I've been watching it since I was really young, and it's just one of those films that I always watch at Christmas.
Fair enough. Mark, number two?
Right, I'm going to go with Home Alone.
Nice.
Home Alone is the ultimate Christmas film. It nearly made the top spot, but when you see what I've chosen, I can't leave that one off the top. But Macaulay Culkin, finest film. Again, we've talked previously about how the second films are never usually that good. Home Alone 2 is also fantastic.
Not as good in my opinion, but
no,
it's very good.
Pigeon Woman was pretty cool. But in the... ripped off Hey Arnold, though, with the Pigeon Man.
I think it came first.
Yeah, a long time ago.
I don't know. I really don't want to know if Hey Arnold came first. But but let's be honest, Home Alone is a fantastic film. The soundtrack's brilliant.
Yeah.
The whole cast is great, you know, it's just a really good, feel-good film, and have John Candy in there as
well. Yeah, John Candy plays, he plays a very minor role, but a very brilliant one.
Yeah.
It's actually my number two as well.
Oh, wow.
Home Alone, yeah, so Mark's, I managed to take off your number three and my number two.
Yeah.
But no, I love Home Alone as well. I think the story of it's brilliant, and you know, Harry and Marv as the villains are just
amazing.
Comical geniuses in what they do, and as much as... You know, I'm a bit like Ben in the fact that I'm not a fan of child actors generally.
Mm.
I think Macaulay Culkin plays the role incredibly well in Home Alone.
Do you know, it's a film I've not seen probably in a decade, but it will, of course, be on this Christmas. So I'm going to make sure that I go out of my way to rewatch it. It's
been a long time. I mean, like Mark brought up, John Candy, I mean, he plays a very minor role in it, but he's actually very, very good.
Yeah.
And he, it was at a time in his career where he didn't probably really need to do it. I think he'd done Uncle Buck, he'd done things like Cool Runnings as well around that at the same time. And yeah, really, he'd been a lead actor in these roles.
Ben's just dying in the background. Sorry, Adam.
I've got a cold, leave me alone.
So he'd been a lead actor, and he ends up doing this bit part role in Home Alone as well.
I like the fact that Macaulay Culkin's little brother's in the film as well.
Which one? Is it Rory?
What's his name? No, the guy
Kieran.
Kieran, yeah. But yeah, he's a cool little guy. But just, let's be honest about it. When you're watching that film, you wish you could have had that chance to be home alone. You would do that. You would, if robbers came for you, you'd be getting bloody paint cans and throwing them off the roof and leaving skateboards out. And
don't think it would have been as effective.
Do you know what? If I was that age and left home alone, I'd bloody love Joe Pesci to turn up at my house.
You'd get drunk with him. That's all you'd do. You'd just invite them in and get drunk.
Yeah. And I'd ask him about how he felt about losing out in Jingle All the Way to Sinbad.
I don't think I'd let the beardy old man in then.
Well, he's all right.
But yeah, an outstanding choice for number two by myself.
And me.
Good work. My choice for number two is Elf. Now, you all know how much I absolutely love Will Ferrell. I'd watch Will Ferrell take a shit, to be honest. And he is so
good. He has, I think, a few films recently.
He was in Kicking and Screaming. That's basically what that was. Yeah. He is so good in Elf. It's a brilliant story. It's hilariously funny. Peter Dinklage is in it.
Yeah.
Score one. Zooey Deschanel's in it. Score two. Kick-ass film. Love Elf. Yeah. Watch it every year.
Yeah, I love Elf as well. And it was very difficult to leave out of my top three. It is one of those films that is laugh-out-loud funny.
Yep. Is the midget in that film...
Brilliant, that's not politically correct.
Is the dwarf in that film...
I don't even think that's right. I think it's Little Person, isn't it?
Little Person?
Just say, oh yeah, Peter Dinklage is in that film.
You're talking about a different Little Person.
I just want to know now, this is genuine, is the little fella...
No, I just said it's Little Person!
Okay, is the little person in that film the same little person that's in Bad Santa? And me, myself, and Irene.
The guy who... Do you know what?
I think you're right.
Tony something. I can't remember his full name.
I think that might be him. I don't know.
No, it's Tony Cox. And I'm pretty sure... I don't think he's not in Elf. He's definitely in Me, Myself, and Irene and Bad Santa, but I don't think he's in Elf.
I think he would have made the film better.
He makes everything better.
Definitely.
Right, anyway, move on.
Elf, yeah, swiftly. Brilliant film.
Yes, Elf. Marvellous.
No, I've never met anyone that's not seen Elf, apart from, obviously, homeless people and stuff, but no. Genuinely, everyone I've met seen Elf, and everyone I know loved it. It's a fantastic film. Probably Will Ferrell's finest.
Well,
that's a debate for the best film ever made.
It wasn't made in the 80s, Mark. How could it be?
Are we going for number one already?
Yeah.
In order to create the untold story of Dracula.
Yeah. Number one for me, Gremlins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was going to happen, to be honest.
Does not surprise me that he went for the old Gremlin. Was it the best film ever made?
I wanted to have The Thing, but I realised there's nothing to do with Christmas apart from there's a lot of snow. I wanted to use that every week for best something. But, yeah, I mean, Gremlins, it starts with a Christmas song.
Did you say you wanted to use The Thing?
Yeah.
What, like the amazing T-shirt we have?
Yeah.
Oh, giveaway coming up later on in the show.
But, yeah, great. Gremlins, it's a film that's set at Christmas.
Yeah.
It does feel very Christmassy.
Yeah.
Having, you know, creatures running around everywhere trying to kill people.
Yeah.
Christmassy. It's my favourite film.
Is it real? Can you change your favourite film every bloody week?
This and The Thing, but yeah, between that, I definitely want that to be my choice as number one. It was going to be Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, but I thought one of you were going to have that.
I haven't got that, but it is a good film.
I haven't got that either.
So I'm going with Gremlins, and I hope you both love Gremlins.
Yeah. I love Gremlins. Gremlins rules. I've not met a single person that doesn't really at least like or love Gremlins.
Do you know what? Yeah, I don't think I've ever met anyone who didn't like Gremlins. Yeah. And if I did, I'd shun them.
Maybe that's dead to me. Yeah.
Everyone needs to watch that at Christmas.
Yeah,
it'll be on ITV. Or
one of the other good channels, yeah.
That and A New Batch.
Yeah.
They're always on over Christmas.
It's not as good as that.
Not as good, but they're always on over Christmas.
Yeah.
So my number one, and it's a film I've talked about before, and the only reason it's my number one, it's not the best Christmas film, but it's the one I watch every Christmas.
Yep.
Jingle All the Way.
It is brilliant.
It's not a brilliant film at all.
I'll fight you.
But it's just it's that film that every year it's on TV and I watch it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. It's about Christmas. The whole story is the dad trying to get the toy for his son.
Yeah.
You know, it could have had Joe Pesci in it, as we've discussed previously. but instead it's got Sinbad, which was an equally brilliant acting choice. I think Sinbad get three nominations over the years for his Oscar-worthy performances. Or...
Yeah, three or four, but Sinbad's always in the mix when it comes to Oscars.
So not quite
looks
as many,
like Joe Pesci.
Not quite as many nominations as Assassination of Jesse James.
No, or The Sandman for his portrayal. So...
This is your week, Ben, to do a Sandman, by the way. Pressure's on.
Never going
to
happen. Have you yet seen Jingle All the Way 2?
I have not.
Starring Larry the Cable Guy and Santino Marella. No, not interested?
No.
Amazing. Ooh, well, maybe Secret Santa later on. Maybe.
We'll or see. The rewatch.
Next week's rewatch. Jingle All the Way 2.
Mark's choice.
But, yeah, Jingle All the Way, and I imagine the sequel is an abortion.
Probably. My number one is a film that if you guys haven't seen it, I implore you, go out and watch it this Christmas because it rules. It's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Seen it a few years ago. Yeah, it's all right.
I mean, it's better than all right.
I'll say I've not seen it.
Dude. This
homework!
Was, this was when Chevy Chase was the funniest man in the world. You know, there was a time in the 80s when Chevy Chase and Bill Murray were going you know, head-to-head for who was the funniest. They were both on Saturday Night Live together. They made great movies. You know, Bill Murray did Caddyshack and things like that. But this was Chevy's calling card, the National Lampoon Vacation movies, and the best one was the Christmas one with the Griswolds. It's an absolute work of art. Randy Quaid playing Cousin Eddie is one of my favourite film characters of all time. Mark, you say you've not seen it in a while, you thought it was all right, go and watch it again.
Yeah,
it's got to be.
Adam, you've never seen it, get involved.
It's got to be over
my favourite Christmas film of all time, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Excellent.
Should we just tell our families we're not going to see them at Christmas and we'll watch our number one choices together? Yeah.
Should we just have Christmas together?
Yeah, yeah. Topless.
I thought we were in. Anyway. That's what we're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Topless and a roast. Well, that's our top three Christmas films. We've had a few come through on Facebook, which is facebook.com/skiptotheendpodcast. My mum is annoying. She's commented again. Miracle on 34th Street, Scrooged, and The Polar Express. I only actually saw The Polar Express for the first time the other day, and I thought it was a bit shit.
The animation's weird.
Yeah.
Have you heard about the whole The Uncanny Valley thing, where they try and make people look too much like humans, and it gets to a point before it's very good that it's really creepy? They just look creepy and weird when it falls into The Uncanny Valley, and that's what happens in The Polar Express. They look bizarre.
Wow.
Ian Evans with Home Alone, Bad Santa, and Elf, so he's kind of mixed all of ours there.
Yeah. Yep.
Gemma Hurst with It's a Wonderful Life.
Cack.
I always think that's overrated.
You've not seen it?
Yeah, that's why it's cack.
That's why you got rid of homework. You mean the Christmas special was coming up and this is going to happen?
I'm pretty sure about 7 episodes ago we did agree that I was going to watch it at Christmas.
Then you've got to watch it this Christmas, Ben.
Shouldn't have to.
Gremlins and Nightmare Before Christmas.
I like Nightmare Before Christmas.
That's a cool film.
It's cool.
Mark Holloway, Die Hard, Elf and Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
Talking about Die Hard, that would be good to discuss later.
It would be amazing if one of us had chosen it in our top three. We discussed it for about half an hour and then had to do the rewatch later.
It wouldn't have been amazing. It would have been foolish.
Some new names have contributed this week, so thanks for those. We've got D. Dennerly with Rare Exports and A Christmas Tale.
Not familiar.
We've had Amy Wiseman with Home Alone, Nightmare Before Christmas and Elf.
I think you said that with the late Amy Winehouse.
she's going to contacts.
John Chalice.
We've had Yazan Al-Ghazari with Die Hard, Home Alone, and he's going to go out with Batman Returns. What a choice.
Ridiculous.
Why?
Excuse me.
He's in that.
My finest work.
Now twins. Mark Walker with Love Actually, because he's a big soft twat.
Love Actually. Shit Actually.
Yeah. Rare Exports again. I need to see this. And It's a Wonderful Life. It's really not if you're watching that film. Eleanor Howes with Elf, It's a Wonderful Life, and LA Confidential. If you think about it, it starts at Christmas time, so that should be allowed.
Fair enough.
Steve Jordan with A Stupid Choice, Muppets Christmas Carol.
That was my third choice.
Trading Places.
Yeah.
And Home Alone 1 or 2.
Mm-hmm.
A new person again, Paul Tabbert with Die Hard, Gremlins and Elf. Paul Dawson with Scrooged, Nativity and Muppets Christmas Carol.
Nativity's garbage, isn't it?
Isn't it a crappy British film?
And isn't Nativity 3's out now or something?
I don't care.
Jesus.
Mike Lee with Jingle All The Way, Die Hard and Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nice, good choices.
Anna Toon with National Lampoon's, whatever you just said.
National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Brilliant.
It's not like you said it about 5 minutes ago.
Since last week I've got Alzheimer's. Grinch and Elf. And finally, Richard Watts with Scrooged, Trading Places and Gremlins.
Scrooged is a good film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Bill Murray.
Yeah.
It's his goddamn.
Oh, so if it wasn't, you wouldn't like it. No, it's not. It's his uncle. Oh, shit. So that's it.
Well, thanks for all your suggestions.
Cheers, then.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells chime in, jingle bell time.
So we've just got back from seeing Dumb and Dumber 2, spelled T-O, really original. Well done.
I don't think it's been done before.
Well,
I think it was actually the one original thing in it.
this is set, how long has it been, 20-something 20, years?
20 years, yeah.
Since the original.
I think it was 94 when the original came out, so yeah.
It's a great film. They've decided to follow up the film 20 years on. It still stars Jim Carrey, which is good, and Jeff Daniels. They haven't got someone else in. That's me. I'm summing up the film. It's 20 years later and we're finding out what they're up to now. They're on the hunt for one of their daughters. I won't ruin it just at this moment in time.
Oh yeah, spoiler alert, sorry.
And if you haven't seen this film, we are going to spoil it by telling you what happens. Yeah, that's Dumb and Dumber 2.
Yeah, so what happens is, it turns out that Lloyd has been in some sort of nursing home because he's had some sort of...
It's a psychiatric facility.
Yeah, and Harry, Jeff Daniels, has been coming to him every week for the last 20 years, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Since the events of the first film, he's...
Yeah, I'm not going to spoil how Lloyd comes out of that facility, but he does. They then find out that Harry has got a kid that is sort of 22 years old that he never knew yeah. about, so they go on a hunt to find this kid. That's the basic story.
From a girl who the hilarious surname of Felcher.
Yep, Freda Felcher, played by Kathleen Turner.
I mean, I just, honestly... I have no idea what to say about this film.
I think it's too soon since we've seen it. Perhaps we need, like, Interstellar a couple of days to go away and really digest the kind of twist there, the storyline.
It's a thinker, this one, isn't it?
I'm really thinking if I want to carry on doing this podcast.
I just think, I mean, the first film was... And we've talked about the law of diminishing returns.
Especially with comedies.
And this is one of the worst cases of that I've ever seen.
Yup.
I mean, the jokes in the first film were puerile, degenerate, but funny.
Yeah.
I was trying to laugh at times in this film. I was actually trying. I made myself laugh. I thought I really need to laugh at this, but I wasn't enjoying it.
I was laughing at most of the film just because I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Yeah.
I know, because their careers are not like this is early 20 years ago where Jim Carrey can do all these masks and Ace Ventura and be this character. He's gone on and done films since. It's like Man on the Moon.
Jim Carrey had his prestige film period, things like Man on the Moon. Eternal Sunshine, and now he's gone back to this crap. Jeff Daniels is still pretty much at the height of his career.
Yeah.
He's not really doing as many big movies as he used to.
Newsroom's six months ago.
Newsroom's only just finished. He won an Emmy for that a couple of years ago.
I remember reading that for the first Dumb and Dumber film, Jim Carrey got paid $10 million.
Sounds about right.
So what's he doing?
He got paid a tenner for this.
Yeah, two bob and a conker.
I love Jim Carrey. I really do. He's probably one of my favourite comedy actors of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But this was just horrendous.
But I can't blame him or Jeff Daniels.
No,
it was just an absolutely atrociously written piece of shit. And the thing that got me is, I don't know if you guys noticed this, on the credits at the end, when it said written by, there were six names.
Yeah. Wow.
Six writers.
What's the WWE?
Is that because they had to credit all the movies they ripped off?
Well, possibly.
Allegedly.
I imagine it's because they had to keep getting people in to rewrite it and say, this ain't working, let's get another couple in, and it never came to anything.
Any of you guys notice the references to Breaking Bad?
There was a scene where there was a meth cook.
Yeah.
And then when they were going to El Paso, they played the song Felina.
Felina, yeah, from the finale.
Yeah.
I was really jumping in on the Breaking Bad fans might like this. It's funny, we're going to take the mick out of
that. It just seemed very odd to me. I was like, that's Felina from Breaking Bad.
And here's a huge spoiler alert. Do you guys know who played the masked meth cook in their flat?
No,
I would have no idea.
Bill Murray.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. So instantly you loved it then.
Yeah, best of all.
As you've just said.
He was clearly slumming it. What are you doing, Bill? It's because he's good mates with the Farrellys, ever since Kingpin.
Yeah. And again, I think that this film was generally created as these guys wanting to hang out again.
Yeah, get to hang out for 3 months, have a laugh.
I haven't seen Jeff for a while. Give him a ring.
And I kind of felt sorry for Laurie Holden, because she's come out of The Walking Dead.
Yep.
And then she thought, right, I need to get my career pushed to the next level. Mm-hmm. Dumb and Dumber 2, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Be fun on set. Awful.
Yeah.
Rubbish. The worst thing is I'll be 53 when we go and see Dumb and Dumber 3 if they leave it another 20 years.
I hope they do leave it 20 years, to be honest.
God, I hope they leave it 50 years so I'm dead.
Jeff Daniels got 20 years. Looking at him in that.
Here's a symbol of how awful the film must be. Freda Felcher, played by Kathleen Turner, who was the love interest of Harry, supposedly. There are flashbacks to them as younger people, like 20-odd years ago. And you only ever see the young Freda Felcher from behind. You never see her face. Up until a few weeks before the release of the film, Freda Felcher in the younger scenes was played by Jennifer Lawrence. I think she then saw a final cut of the film and went, nah.
Really?
Wow. She went, nah.
That's crazy.
My career is going quite well. I don't want to be in this.
Yeah, I think I actually remember reading that she was going to be a role in this.
So I don't know if when you see her from behind, I don't know if that's the back of her head. Or if they've refilmed those scenes, but it was at one point meant to be her.
I mean, well done, Jennifer.
Yeah, good choice. she's a smart cookie, that one.
That Kathleen woman reminds me of the bad lady off the Goonies. You know, like the old crinkled up face and stuff. She had that, and her voice was like really manly.
Well, Kathleen Turner's always had quite a gruff voice.
Yeah, really gruff.
Do you not remember that when she was in Friends and she played Chandler's dad?
Oh my lord.
Did she? Yeah. Wow. I did not know that.
Yeah. And his all-male Vegas burlesque show, Viva Las Vegas.
So this is how good this film is. It's how good this film is. We're actually now just discussing cameos that the actors have made in other things. But, I mean, generally, let's
talk a bit about let's talk about the characters now. Stuff. Yeah.
Return of Harry and Lloyd. They are as they were. And there were parts of me when I was watching them doing their antics and making their jokes where I thought, if these exact lines would have been in the original film that I'd have seen in 1994, would I have found it funny? Am I just in a different mindset now, 20 years on? Or are they just shit lines? I can't answer that.
I think they were shit lines.
I think if they'd been encompassed in the story of the first film, I think you'd have found it funny. I think what really lacked here was any kind of narrative device.
Yeah, the story was rubbish.
Whereas the story in the first film was actually quite funny. Yeah. This was incredibly rehashed for me. I mean, they're travelling with a guy called Travis, played by Rob Riggle.
Yeah.
And it just felt exactly like the first film when they're being chased across the country by someone trying to kill them again. Yeah.
It was dreadful.
It just felt completely rehashed, and this is the law of diminishing returns.
Yep.
There's no jokes that worked. I don't know. They must have watched it back and gone, well, it'll make a few million, but I just don't understand their, you know, like you said, Jeff and Jim, really good actors, really respected.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
I wouldn't say not anymore.
I think they'll be fine, especially Jeff Daniels. Jim Carrey's career is on the downslide. Do you know what the shame, Jim?
He'll be going down in the ground.
Brilliant. The shame for Jim Carrey is the best performance Jim Carrey has put in years was a couple of years ago when he was in Kick-Ass 2. Have you seen that?
As Captain Stars and Stripes.
It's not a great film, but he's brilliant in it. But because of he decided after the film was
in
the
promotion,
he refused to promote it because of the gun elements of it. And he, you know, there'd been some killing. You know,
it was after
people shooting up schools in America as they always do.
Was it Sandy Hook?
It was either Sandy Hook or one of those.
Yeah, one of these.
So he decided that he didn't want to promote a film that promoted violence, which I understand. But it meant he missed out on promoting his best performance in a long time, which would have helped him gain better roles. So it's a shame because he's still good.
I don't think this is a case of him wanting better roles.
No, he just did this.
I think this is a case of him hanging around with Jeff Daniels and Bobby
and Farrell and brothers,
again.
And probably getting to look at Jennifer Lawrence from behind.
Okay, so moving swiftly on.
I mean, just generally, I mean, let's Travis and Lippincott, who are twin brothers, played by Rob Riggle.
See, I really like Rob Riggle. Rob Riggle's a comedy ringer. He's one of those guys that turns up in every comedy show you've ever seen. You know,
a solid role.
He plays Schmidt's brother in New Girl, and he used to be a correspondent on The Daily Show. Rob Riggle's on everything. He was in Step Brothers, which is one of my favourite films of all time. Rob Riggle's
just why, because Farrell's in it.
Yes, I do like Will Ferrell, but Rob Riggle's a guy I like, and I thought he did good work. You know, he didn't have a lot to work with, but he was good at what he did, so I, you know, can't hold anything against him.
I quite like the way he was painted up every now and then in the scenes, and then
the camouflage.
That was good.
Yeah.
I like that.
That was cool.
The best bit from the film, the face paint. Well done.
So, Adele, Laurie Holden.
Fine.
But nothing to work with.
No.
And Laurie Holden is a good actress. Having seen her in The Walking Dead, especially in The Mist recently as well.
Yeah.
She is very good.
She is.
She was given nothing to do here. I mean, it was a very stereotypical female villain.
Yeah, with no bite to it.
She did the best she could, and I respect her for that.
Look, I know it's absolute folly to compare this to Gone Girl, but we spoke at length when we reviewed Gone Girl about how impressive that film and the book was at creating this female villain that was nothing like you'd seen before. This film sort of sums up what most female villains are like when they're put on screen. They're just pointless and weak and, you know, it's
shame. It's the wife, the psychopathic wife, but in the way that, she's slowly killing her husband. Yeah. She's not doing anything inventive.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
It was gash. Rachel Melvin. Rachel Melvin, who played Penny, which is the daughter they eventually found, I thought she was rather good. I've never seen it in her in anything.
She was really good.
I thought she was quite good, playing a sort of a ditzy sort of
character. Yeah, she was funny.
She made me laugh.
And I want to see her now in a serious role.
Me too.
You know, she isn't just some idiot.
I want to see her in a better comedy. Want to see her in something else.
But she might actually just be a disabled kid that's really funny.
It reminded me a lot of Amanda Seyfried in Mean Girls.
Yeah.
A very kind of ditzy character, very funny.
Yeah.
And Seyfried's gone on to have a pretty damn good career, so maybe Rachel Melvin will be.
Definitely. So we've spoken a bit about Kathleen Turner already playing Frieda Falcher.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any other characters in the film?
We've nailed.
There was a guy cleaning a window in one scene.
He was pretty good. they brought back little Billy.
Little Billy, grown up now.
Yeah.
Still. Collection of rare birds, cat kills and all.
Dead. let's talk about the direction for a minute. It was rubbish.
Yeah.
The Farrellys.
This film was directed.
The Farrellys, you know, no one's going to mistake them for Martin Scorsese, but previous films of theirs have had a certain amount of flair, like Me, Myself and Irene, and
They did something.
What's the one with the girl with the spunk in her hair?
That's degrading.
There's something about Mary.
Something about Mary. There are certain shots and whatnot that are quite impressive and dramatic and sweeping and stuff. This had none of that.
No.
This looked like a crap sitcom. This was just like very static shots, poorly framed.
Some of the scenes where they were just having a conversation, it was so up close.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because we had seats that were quite close in the cinema. It was dreadful. It was like Kevin Smith.
The amount of just basically poo gags.
Yeah.
There was a lot of poo and fart gags,
Really bad.
I'll be honest, I don't think I've ever seen Jeff Daniels' butt crack that much.
And nor do I want to see it again.
No. I'll be honest with you, for some of the people out there that are just absolute idiots that want to go to the cinema and they find films like The Hangover 2 and 3 really good, funny films, go and see it because you will love it.
If you like The Hangover, if you like How High...
If you're a twat, go and watch it in the cinema, because there's a lot of twats in there tonight loving it.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true.
Yeah. If you like How I Met Your Mother, you clearly have no sense of humour. So go and watch this.
Yeah.
Right up your alley.
Yeah. If you actually... Yeah, do it. It'll be your film of the year.
And stop listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
Right, so...
on that,
scores. Skip to the end ratings.
Yeah.
Who's going first?
10 for me. loved it. Top notch.
Yeah, we're going to change our ratings to out of 100 now.
Yeah.
Do you want to be really clever and give it a 2, T-O?
That's well clever.
I'm quite happy with that. 2.
No, Ben wants to be more generous than that. we're not doing that.
Let's not bury it just for the sake of a lame gag.
So you can put it on the website, which is cityn.co.uk. What did we give Sin City 2?
It doesn't matter. We don't judge him against one another. Judge it on its own merits.
I want this to be the worst film this year.
I think the overall for that was a 5 or something. Well, I'm giving this 5 to me. It was distinctly average. It wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen.
It was nice to switch my brain off. It was nice to see a film that no one cared about. 5.
I want to give it a 4.
Okay, so skip to the end rating 5.
Yep.
That's that bullshit mass again.
Yep. Boom, 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 boom.
Right, so we've just finished our top 3 Christmas films, and with this being the Christmas special, next week will be New Year's.
Yep.
So I imagine we'll all be going out for a few drinks on New Year's, getting a bit drunk.
Couple of shandies.
Couple of shandies, of course. So I was thinking about this the other day, and I came up with a pretty good topic, actually. Your top 3 Hangover films.
Hangover 1, Hangover 2, Hangover 3.
so it's either 1, 2 or 3, whatever order.
I'm going to go out now, 3, 2, 1.
But, okay, so it's films you watch when you're hungover. Things like Lazy Sundays, on the couch, film on. Don't have to think about
it. It's not just Lazy Sundays, Hangover, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
I don't like this impression you're giving people of me.
So Ben will need to narrow it down a bit then.
Get close to the mic, you're hobbling over.
So yeah, best hangover films. How does that sound?
Yeah, I like it. Good idea.
Top 3?
Top 3.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. a beautiful sight. We're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
Okay, so I set a topic last week of your film that you watch that at Christmas that isn't necessarily about Christmas. Mm. So we went away, we had a bit of a think about it. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Go on, Ben.
So we're talking about those films that are on at Christmas. They just seem to be on every year,
yep.
But aren't necessarily Christmas films. At Christmas, every year, and it's not just Christmas, actually, it's any bank holiday, ITV will shove James Bond films down our faces till we vomit.
Yep.
They bloody love that. And the one that always... the one that always seems to be on at Christmas is Moonraker.
Yeah.
Moonraker is always on.
Yeah.
And it's garbage.
I like it.
No, you're wrong. It's terrible. As are all the Roger
Moore's.
Jaws, isn't it? All the Roger Moore Bonds are atrocious, because he's atrocious. And the thing that I always remember from that film is the final scene when Bond and this woman, whose surname is Goodhead, because yeah. they were big on subtlety.
Yeah, she gives it.
Brilliant. I think that was the subtext, Mark. I didn't know. I think you needed to make it that plain.
Mark's got the joke.
At least one person did. They've won. So Bond and Goodhead are in this shuttle. They're coming back to Earth.
Yeah.
And there's a live camera in there. And guys watching back at Mission Control, you've got M and Q and whatnot. And I think M says, "Oh, what's he doing?" Because he's clearly trying to shag this woman. And Q says, "He's attempting re-entry." Oh, my God. And then there's like a close-up of Roger Moore's face where he does his classic Roger Moore eyebrow. And then the camera goes...
That's where The Rock got it from.
That's where it is, yeah. But it's bloody terrible. It's cheesy shite. But I do watch it every year, usually.
There's just no subtlety when Roger Moore is playing Bond.
Yeah.
He's trying to get with someone called Goodhead.
I didn't mind that
film. An attempting re-entry.
I actually didn't mind that film.
Do you know, right, they didn't intend to make that Bond. You know, I don't think they do it anymore, but back in the day, at the end of each Bond film, they'd always say, "Bond will return in," and then they'd announce the name of the next Bond. And the one they said that it was going to be, I don't know, Live and Let Die or some shit.
Good film.
But they didn't make that one because the whole Star Wars craze had kicked off. So they went, "No, we need to make a Bond in space." So that's why they did Moonraker instead of the one they announced.
Dreadful.
Yeah.
Dreadful. I always thought the guy that played the Jaws guy, the metal teeth, I just always think he was pretty good.
Yeah, Richard Keel, he died not so long ago. The thing I remember him for just as much as Jaws was he was in Happy Gilmore.
Oh, yes. Yeah, he's the guy shouting and giving him
a
view.
Yeah.
Wasn't he also in No Country for Old Men with the funny haircut? It doesn't like him.
No, doesn't.
Javier Bardem, we discussed it quite a lot.
There's nothing like him.
He does if you squint.
He's 4 foot shorter.
He does if you squint.
Christ. No, anyway.
Mark, go.
Let's wrap it up. Go on, Mark.
So, I think we actually mentioned this film earlier. Uncle Buck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I absolutely love the film.
Awesome film.
Another great film with Macaulay Culkin and John Candy. Yeah.
Great film. Great film.
It's weird, isn't it? Because when you think of that film, it does make you think of Christmas. I don't know why, because there's nothing Christmassy about it. But
except
it's probably because
snow.
Of those... That's it, though. It's not set at Christmas. There's no Christmas theme, I think.
It's just the snow. And the snow plays a big part in our perception of Christmas.
Yeah.
Despite the fact we live in England, we rarely have snow at Christmas.
Global warming, mate.
Yeah. But, yeah.
Al Gore was right.
But, yeah.
Mambo Big.
One of John Candy's finest performances for me.
Yeah, oh, no, I agree. I mean, I love John Candy anyway, I think.
Me too.
Absolute god of comedy roles.
The Candyman, I call him.
The Candyman, I like that. But yeah, Uncle Buck is one of those films which, I mean, I love the bit where he gets the hatchet out of the boot.
It's amazing.
And he's just threatening that guy. Yeah. Absolutely, he just does it so well, and he plays that kind of role brilliantly as well.
Mm-hmm.
I love John Candy.
I love the fact that when he takes the kids bowling, and it's just a real good, happy, good feel-good film.
Yeah.
And I think that was before... Was that before or after Home Alone? I'm trying to work out how old Macaulay Culkin
was. It's before. I think Macaulay Culkin's about 4 or 5 in it, and he's about 6.
Is that what he is?
Do you know what film I always sort of mix this up with in my mind? King Ralph.
Yeah.
They're the same film, but they're definitely not.
And it's completely different actors as
well. Just fat bloke.
John Goodman, John Candy, both big and fat, but one's still alive.
Probably.
Right, my choice. Film's always on at Christmas. I always watch it at Christmas. Rocky IV.
Brilliant. Yeah.
It's not really about... I think there's one scene back in... I think the fight is on Christmas Day.
Yeah, there's snow in it.
Yeah,
there's plenty
of snow,
like we've said.
But generally, it's not a Christmas film. And it has some of the biggest 80s feel I've ever seen. It's mm-hmm. Cold War.
Yeah.
The robot.
Yeah.
It's just...
Is it not Christmas? Because doesn't he give him the robot for Christmas?
No, he gives a bit of robot for Paulie's birthday.
Oh.
But the fight they actually have in Russia is on Christmas
Day.
Mm. But, you know, it's not really about Christmas. Christmas isn't a major key part of the Cold War.
Yeah.
But I love, I mean, we spoke about Ivan Drago, we've spoken a bit about Rocky IV in the past, but Rocky IV is that film, it's always on British TV at Christmas, and I love watching it.
I agree entirely.
But no, and it's the best Rocky film. Fact.
Correct, agreed.
So, yeah.
Yeah, alright, I'll agree with that actually, I was just thinking then, but no, yeah, it probably is.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff. That's the end of that then.
Perfect soundtrack too. Brilliant. Check it out.
So on the last podcast, I came up with a brand new feature called The Rewatch, where on each episode, we're going to get together and we're going to watch a classic movie that either all or most of us have seen. And straight out of the gate, I came out with Die Hard.
Yes!
Yes, Die Hard!
Yeah, keep by it.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard of it. So we got together earlier in the week, we watched Die Hard. Fellas, thoughts?
Yeah, it's a pretty good film.
It's alright, isn't
it? Not much action.
Ho, ho, ho.
It is a work of manly art.
It's amazing. It is arguably one of the best action films of all time.
And I think it was the progenitor of a lot of the action films.
Yeah.
Every action star now, since that film, runs around in a vest.
Yeah.
And that's only because Bruce Willis did it. And the thing that it's like, that wasn't an aesthetic choice in that film. It wasn't like, yeah, I'm going to look manly in a vest. It's because he was having a wash.
Yeah.
And it just so happened when all the terrorism kicked off, he was in his vest.
Yeah.
And now the iconic thing is the bloke running around in a vest. I also love the fact that he was in barefoot.
Yeah.
He was running around with glass in his feet and he's still smoking fools. Can't beat
it. It's an awesome film, man. I mean, I can sit here and talk about Die Hard until I'm blue in the face.
Do it.
You can talk about Alan Rickman.
Brilliant.
As Hans Gruber. And what a villain. For a guy who literally starts off as an international terrorist, basically.
Yeah.
Links to all these political organisations. Just playing everyone. Just trying to literally steal money.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Bruce Willis on the other side. This guy, John McClane, who is essentially just a guy who shouldn't even be there.
Yeah, he was just there to see his wife.
And it scuppers the entire thing.
Going back to Alan Rickman, we were talking about the whole, how John McClane was the progenitor of the whole action movie boom after that. Alan Rickman was the progenitor of the whole European villain
thing.
Yeah,
definitely.
You know, for a long time after that film, every villain was either English or German. And he was kind of the starting point of that. One of the things I love about that is the fact that it was Alan Rickman's first movie as well.
Feature film debut.
Yeah, he wasn't a young guy, but he'd done a bit of TV, he'd done a hell of a lot of stage work, and the producer and director of this film saw him in a play and went, he's our guy.
Yeah, and I don't care what anyone says, he's never topped it.
What about Dogma? it's good in Dogma.
He's great in that, but this is he's made to be
he's
a villain.
He's so good in
that. It's all summed up for me in the scene where John McClane meets him for the first time.
Yeah.
And he puts on that kind of British accent.
No, American. He pretends to be American, yeah.
And he kind of, you're not one of them, you're not one of them. And he gives him the gun.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, he pulls the trigger and realises there's no bullets in it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it sums up the entire film. Like, John McClane is one of the smartest guys, but idiotic guys as well, in other respects. And it's just that moment where Hans Gruber's just tricking him, but he's not tricking him. It's that whole reversal completely.
Yeah, McClane knows what's happening from day one.
That scene was actually unrehearsed to actually give more of a spontaneous feel, so they never actually rehearsed that one scene.
And Alan Rickman did the cartilage in his knee in that scene. You see him jump off a thing, damages his knee, and he's sort of hobbling after that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it in. That's what she said. But yeah, a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant action film, and let's be honest about it, if we hadn't had this as a talking point this week, we all would have chose it as our favourite Christmas film. We all would have chose it as the film.
I genuinely think we would have.
We all would have chosen it would have been the film we watch at Christmas. Yeah. We all do.
It would have made our top three, for sure.
This is precisely why I chose it as the rewatch, so that we didn't all put it in our top three, and just so we could watch it again, basically.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with watching Die Hard again.
Yeah.
Ben actually watched Die Hard with us all. And then, as we left, he watched...
Yeah, when I got home, I then went and watched Die Hard with a Vengeance. I skipped Die Hard 2, because that's just Die Hard in an airport. It's fine for what it is, but Die Hard with a Vengeance kicks all kinds of ass, and I love that film.
Bear in mind, it was about, probably, 10:30 by the time we finished watching Die Hard.
Yeah, and it was a school night.
So, we all went home, and Ben then sat up and watched another Die Hard film.
That's how committed I am to John McClane.
Yeah, the third film, we're not going to take away from Die Hard now, but the third film is an absolute masterpiece, and it is one of those sequels.
But we didn't all rewatch
No, we'll talk about the sequels in a more general sense in a little bit, but let's stick with the original.
Marking out is the rewatchers Die Hard 2.
Yeah. one of my absolute favourite things about the film is the relationship between John McClane and the cop Al outside, this little loved up relationship they have on the phone. And I swear to God, we've talked before about films that make you cry and whatnot. This didn't make me cry, but it hit me there in my manly heart. When McClane comes out and hugs Al because they've been through some shit together. I love that.
It's the speech Al gives as well about how like he pulled his gun on a kid.
Mm.
And then he promised himself he'd never pull his gun again. But then he does it at the end. Oh, it's touching.
It is touching.
And it's an action film with emotion. And that's the key thing, isn't it?
Well, fact is that the whole film is him starting to go and try and get patch things up with his wife.
Yeah.
You know, that's straight away. That's what these films miss nowadays. The story.
There's so many villains.
Brilliant.
Villains in different respects. You've got Hans Gruber, the guy who's put on the whole awesome situation, you know, he's in it for the money. Mm. You've got the reporter.
Oh, yeah.
Who's just looking for a story. So he ends up going to his house to get his kids on TV.
And I can't remember that guy's name, the guy who plays him, but he was basically Rent-A-Dick in the 80s. He was a dick in every film. He was a dick in one of the Ghostbusters films.
Yeah.
And then you've got the police detective captain or whatever it is, who's a dick as well.
And then the FBI douchebag.
He's also a dick, It's just, it's literally like there are only two people in that film who are doing any good, and it's Al and John McClane.
And another dick is the co-worker.
Yeah, the co-worker.
Ellis.
He is an absolute dick.
Come on, John, it's me.
Yeah.
Dick.
No, look, I'm trying to save your life. Tell them you don't know me.
It's good in every single way. The story is great. So simple, so stripped down. The action is brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think one of the issues I have with modern action films is that they try too hard to do too much because their budgets are so inflated now. They know they can rely on green screens. They're like, let's do all this crazy, wacky shit. No, just have one guy in a room with a gun, smoking some fools, saying, oh, German, have this.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Yeah. The special effects are fantastic in this and the explosions are so unbelievably well done. It's nice that it isn't Michael Bay doing it over the top. It is realistic.
That's because it's not CGI. Yeah. They did real explosions. Like Bruce Willis has been left half deaf ever since that because one explosion was too loud and too close.
Wow.
It definitely been one.
One of the things that I do love about it is Hans Gruber, we've spoken about previously, but the bit where he's telling the guy trying to crack the safe.
Yeah,
it's Christmas. That'll be a miracle. But he knows all along that once the FBI take control, they'll shut power to the grid and that'll allow them to open the safe.
Yeah.
So he's literally planned everything down to a T.
He was one step ahead every time.
It's literally just this one guy, this one just, I think, what's the phrase they use? Fly in the ointment.
Mm.
John McClane.
The thing I love about McClane in the first three films, and we'll come to the latter two.
What last two?
Yeah. But the thing that I loved about McClane in those films is that even though he was a trained cop, he was just a normal guy in a bad situation, and it was him just doing his bloody best. In the latter films, he's basically a superhero, which is disappointing, because that's not what McClane was about. Like, you watch Die Hard with a Vengeance. About 10 times in that film, he goes on about his headache, because they had to wake him up because he was hungover, he got pissed up the night before. So he does the whole film that, you know, saves New York, pissed up, hungover, whinging about his headache. In fact, him needing some aspirin towards the end of the film is one of the plot points that helps him catch Hans Gruber's brother. And he was this underdog that you couldn't help but root for and love. And then in the last two films, he's just this superhero with a gun.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
But that's action films nowadays.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
And this is why Die Hard's so good, because not only is it the progenitor of many action films gone, it is one of the old classics. And Bruce Willis, at this point, could do no wrong in action films after this. I mean, look at things like The Last Boy Scout.
Mm-hmm. Great film.
Bruce Willis again, just playing Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
And this is why the guy was so good.
Yeah. The thing that always makes me laugh about Die Hard is that at the time, he was about fifth or sixth choice for the role, and he was just known for being in Moonlighting.
Yeah.
He was a guy known for being...
He was filming Moonlighting as this was going on.
Yeah, because apparently that's why most of the film is set at night, because he had to film Moonlighting during the day.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was doing his rom-com TV show, and then
if you've never seen
Moonlighting,
anyone listening, check it out, because it's a fantastic series.
It is actually quite good,
isn't it? It's really good.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I love Bruce Willis. I think he's amazing. And his cameo in Friends...
Yeah,
my friends earlier is what well, not I guess not a cameo. Kind of, he's in it for a few episodes.
Yeah,
he's one of the best things I've ever seen.
It's hilarious.
And I remember reading that apparently he did that for free.
Really?
Because he lost a bet with Matthew Perry.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He
That's
lost
cool.
A bet with Matthew Perry. And every episode of Friends he does is free.
Genius.
Because I love stories like that.
Yeah, me too.
They're humans. They're real. I've heard.
I want to know what the bet is now.
Yeah,
I want to know the exact
details
of that bet.
You both have never seen Die Hard or Try or whatever. Live
I have seen the fourth one, which is Live Free or Die Hard.
Yep.
I have not, on point of principle, seen the fifth one.
I want
which
you to
is
both a good make day a pact with to me today hard. That you'll never watch it.
Agreed.
I've seen it, and it's the worst piece of shit I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not just saying that to be like, oh, you just... I'm genuinely meaning it.
Yep. Is that including the review of the film we've done on this podcast?
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, it's absolute garbage, and it ruins everything, and it makes you not like Bruce Willis anymore.
And it co-stars, I don't know how to pronounce his first name, I don't know if it's Jay or Jai, I'm going to say Jai, Jai Courtney. Is this? I think he's an Aussie, and he's a guy that Hollywood keeps pushing down our throats. They keep telling us this guy's a star, he's in the new Terminator movie.
Yeah, it's dreadful.
And anything I've seen him in, I was like, who's this bland motherfucker? Yeah. You know, he's why do Hollywood keep thinking this guy's the real deal? He's rubbish!
He is actually my choice of who I want dead this week.
It's taken a while.
Yeah.
We're nearly at the end of the show here.
Yeah, he winds me up, like you said, we didn't need him in Terminator. That's a massive step, Terminator. Yeah. Then you get in a Die Hard film.
I find this interesting about Hollywood as well, in the fact that the moment an actor starts being rammed down people's throats, it's the moment they start hating him.
Yeah.
It's like Hollywood haven't learnt this.
Mm-hmm.
The moment we start seeing someone in everything, we no longer want to see them.
Yeah, and I get a kind of example of that. It's not someone I would ever say I hate, but was Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
The movie studios tried too hard to make Ryan Reynolds A-list, so they kept putting him things over and over again. And he's a brilliant, talented, charismatic actor,
and
but he did a lot of shit films because studios kept forcing him down our throats.
Forcing him on bad scripts.
Yeah.
Green Lantern, bad script.
He needs a better agent. Yeah. That's what he needs. Jai Courtney's clearly got a great agent because he keeps getting these big-ass films, even though he's rubbish.
So, Die Hard, there's never going to be another action film. I don't care what anyone says. Yes, I love stuff like Commando and Predator and stuff, but this is a standalone, the epitome of watching a decent action film.
It's something that was... It's just completely brilliant.
They could never remake it. They could never do anything like it anymore. Like the closest thing you'll get now, and don't get me wrong, it's nowhere near, but the closest thing you'll get is something like Expendables. That's the closest you'll get with Expendables, but it's nowhere near.
I will fully admit, and I'll hold my hands up, that when we sat down to rewatch Die Hard, I sat down and I went, okay, let's do this, let's watch it. And you know, I got my phone out, but the moment the film kind of got 5 minutes in, that was it, phone away, and I was hooked again completely.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought it was sacrilege that you even have your phone out for 5 minutes. I was about ready to slap you for that.
2 hours, 15 minutes as well, it flies by. It seems like about
does,
an hour
yeah.
of a film.
It really does fly
it does.
By, yeah.
I just wish they'd left it as a trilogy, because it was a long time afterwards until they put out the fourth one. He obviously needed some more money. I have actually, and I know you go...
Obviously.
Well, maybe. I don't want to say this, because Kevin Smith worked with him on Couple of Dicks.
Cop Out.
Yeah. That's,
they should have kept the original title, Couple of Dicks.
It wouldn't have
made the film any better. It was garbage, but the name would have been better.
Kevin Smith is literally, absolutely worships Bruce, talks with him from the same place, and he adores him.
I'm sure I've read an interview since where he said that he hated that experience because Bruce Willis can't be directed.
And that's what I was just about to say.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, he absolutely hated working with him. He got to the point where he'd want to reshoot a scene. He'd say to Bruce, right, can we do, you know, scene 26 again from the start? And he'd be like, no, I'm happy with it. And he's like, well, I'm not. This hasn't quite been what I wanted. He's like, no. We'll do that scene and move on.
Yeah.
And he actually told Kevin Smith what to do, and he ended up saying, he just let him just do what he wanted, come on set, film. And he says it in his book, quite honestly, he said, it never meet your stars, because once you do, you'll hate them. And he said, now, it's disgusting, because he's just really left with this bad impression of him.
And he's not the only person that says that. A lot of directors who work with Willis now, they just know he's a disagreeable, miserable bugger.
He said at one point, you see him in interviews,
he's a miserable
sod. Yeah, they said at one point he was demanding what frame they should be using on the camera and getting behind the cameraman and saying, no, it should be a 4x3 and this and that. And they were like, this is a joke, but I can't, because that is McClane and we can't really tell him anything else.
I hope they call him McClane on set, on any film he's on.
That's a shame.
No, it is. And it's one of those things, like you say, never meet your heroes.
No. Well, you two got to when you met me. But yeah.
Cheers.
I don't know who you are.
Part four, and part you never will. Part four.
You don't even know my real name. I'm the fucking lizard king.
If he'd left it as just three, that would have been the perfect trilogy.
It would have been. It's one of those, even though I don't think two's that great,
no,
it's fine.
It's still good though.
And I think you could have held that up as one of the trilogies against, you know, your
anything
Toy Story
else.
Trilogy, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I think that you could have held that up against.
Different films.
In many ways. I think you could have held it up against, say, for example, Back to the Future trilogy,
which
the weak link is the third one.
Yeah.
I would say with Die Hard, the weak link would be the middle one.
Yeah.
But
like
because
Matrix.
They then went and made two pieces of crap afterwards,
yeah.
Shat all over the legacy a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely with that. Mm.
If now you had to, if you had to rate Die Hard for a overall
10,
so we're going to give a rewatch, skip to the end score out of 10.
Yeah, why not
10?
See, I love this film so much, and I want to just say 10. But I think that's just sort of historical love. I need to be more analytical than that. It's not the perfect film.
This isn't going to be on the website. This is just for, and you see this, this podcast, yeah. You'll find out. I'm sorry, you were reviewing this film now.
I've said to you guys before that the big thing for me is staying power.
Yeah.
And Die Hard has staying power.
The ladies love staying power.
I can quite happily sit there and watch Die Hard and watch it again.
But I don't know that that makes it a 10 out of 10 film. You know, we've all done our top five films and whatnot. None of us had Die Hard in it. So let's assume that the films we did put in were our 10 out of 10s.
Okay.
That's why I would say 9. Die Hard. Yeah, 9. I'm going to say 9 for Die Hard.
I love how you've just talked him out of his own choice. Do you know what, Adam? Fuck it. It's a 10 if you want it to be. It can be a 10 out of 10. It's the perfect action film.
Are we playing good cop, bad cop?
Yeah. Adam's allowed a 10. Yeah.
Thanks, Mark. I appreciate you allowing me an opinion again.
Yeah, thank you. You've won it back. Ben, leave him alone.
I'm fine.
You can have a 9.
Thanks.
I'll go 9.5.
Yeah,
I'll go 6. We don't do
6.
Yeah. So are you gonna
I'll give it
a 10?
I'll give it a 10.
Good for you. Good for you. Well done, lads. Stand up for yourself. I'm going 9.
I'm going 9.
Brilliant, well done.
It's taught me it's a 10.
So it's good. Yeah, there's nothing about him, so it's 9 anyway. It's come round to the choice for me now to pick my rewatch film. Stupidly, as a rewatch, it should be a film that we've all seen, that we all revisit.
Or at least 2 out of 3.
I think at this time it might just be me that's seen it.
So pissing all over the concept 2 weeks.
It's basically a homework after the first week. But I can safely say that bringing this film into both of your lives will be something that will be golden to review and that you'll both really, really, really enjoy.
I'm worried.
The film we're watching next week at my house on the big screen, so you get the full cinema experience.
Bragging again.
It's going to be Westworld.
You know I've seen Westworld. You and I have talked about Westworld dozens of times. You know I love it.
Westworld?
Westworld. You'll like it.
Adam,
you'll
love it. I've not seen it.
It's phenomenal.
It's been on my list for about a year.
It's a great choice, dude. It's a great choice.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm chuffed with that.
Do you like my little red herring swerve? Westworld, next week.
I'm preparing for some Christmas sharing, but I pause because hang in my stocking, I can hear a knocking. Is that you, Santa Claus?
A few weeks back, we released our Birmingham MCM Comic Con special podcast episode. Ooh. And on there, we had a couple of prizes that we decided to give away. One of which was a signed picture of RJ Mitty, known as Walt Jr. / Flynn from Breaking Bad. The question we asked for that one was, how many times has Walt Jr. eaten breakfast on the show? People who know Breaking Bad will get the humour in that question. So, Adam, what was the answer?
It was 5.
5?
5 times.
So, Mark, who's the winner?
We've had absolutely tons of people. No one got it right apart from one person.
Really?
So one person got it right.
Yeah, only one.
Yeah.
Danny McKay, which is @ Danny McKay. On Twitter.
Danny McKay, you have won a signed RJ Mitty picture.
Well done to you, sir.
Do you know what, Danny, as well? I loved the way that when you actually emailed us to let us know, as well as Twitter, you put, yo, bitch, the answer is 5 times. Good on you.
Good work, Danny.
I like that.
Yeah, I believe Danny follows us already on Twitter, doesn't he?
Yep,
so we'll get in touch with you, we'll get your address details, and we'll get that out to you soon. We also had a second prize to give away, which was a T-shirt, courtesy of Headshot Clothing.
Great bunch of guys that we
got to meet. Very cool dudes. It was a brilliant T-shirt with a logo for the classic film The Thing, one of Mark's, if not your all-time favourite, Mark.
Yeah.
The question we asked was,
who directed the film, which is the remake of The Thing?
And who was it?
John Carpenter?
Yep, the horror master.
And who won the prize?
It is Megs, which is @ Rouseman _ Megs. But you are also following us. Good on you. You know what makes you cool. And we'll get in contact with you to let you know about winning this prize. If you also want to win prizes in the future, you need to follow us. You know, it's going to help. So, at STTE Podcast, you know.
Not that hard, is it? No. Also, we've got a pretty cool website, by the way, skiptotheend.co.uk, that has all of our links to our Instagram, our Facebook, our Twitter, our email. We post regular articles pretty much every day, so get involved, skiptotheend.co.uk.
What's that?
Oh, sorry, that's the delivery man with those massive plugs we ordered.
Hey-o.
Oh, hi, mate. What's on that plug there? What's that little sticker? Instagram? Oh, yeah, we're on Instagram as well now. That is the best way. And, you know, it's more successful than Twitter. It's worth $45 billion. So we're on it as well.
Good stuff.
It's so, the end podcast.
So prizes. So that's all of them, isn't it? We've given away all of our prizes, haven't
it's
we, Mark?
It's Christmas, the time for giving.
Is it?
It is.
Right. Have we got more prizes?
What?
We have.
Oh, no way.
You know those absolute legends that we've just mentioned from the t-shirt company Headshot Clothing?
Who?
Headshot Clothing.
Yep.
Check out their website.
Yeah, I remember that.
They got some great
those
designs.
Dudes rule.
Well, when I went on their website, I was looking and I saw this unbelievable Halloween t-shirt.
Halloween?
Yep.
Amazing.
One of the best horror films of all time. Now, it's got the Mike Myers face, and it's such an original print, and hats off to him.
We'll Instagram a picture of the prize.
Yeah, yep. Why not? Let's give one of them away.
Let's do that then.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, also, oh, sorry.
Well, we need to give him a question, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, so the question.
A nice simple one. What date is Halloween? That is literally the easiest question you're ever going to get asked.
Come on,
I don't know what. No. My mind's gone blank.
Yeah.
It's October sometime, but I'm not telling you when.
Brilliant.
So, give away
to win to win a very, very cool Halloween t-shirt from the guys at Headshot Clothing is. What date is Halloween?
Okay. And, do you know what, lads?
What?
No.
It's Christmas.
It's the season of giving.
If he's going to say he's got another prize, I'm out of here. This
Has he got another
ridiculous.
Prize?
We haven't given hardly anything away for a long time, and then we went, bam, here you go, Breaking Bad signed photo.
All of a sudden he's got a sack full.
Yep, and I'm ready to empty my sack. So, are you ready for me to empty my sack?
So why Christmas?
You are you ready to see what I've got in my sack?
Yep.
I've got another literally unbelievable signed photo from... RJ Mitty. Not one, but two.
RJ?
Yeah.
Mitty?
Yep.
Gave us another signed photo.
This one is actually probably a bit better than the first one as well. It's even
sorry, Danny. Sorry, yeah. Danny.
Sorry, Danny, you're not having it back.
Enter again.
Yeah. Enter again, mate.
That's
why not have
said.
Two?
But yeah. So, question for this. To win this unbelievable, and I'm talking, you get loads for this on eBay.
Go on, Ben.
Don't eBay it. They will keep it. They will cherish it forever. So, RJ Mitty plays Walt Jr. What we want to know to win this cracking prize is who plays Walt Sr.? Who plays Walter White in Breaking Bad?
Right, we're going to let you win this competition by as many ways as we can. Literally, email us, skiptotheend@icloud.com. That's the easiest way you're ever going to find. Twitter, @STTEpodcast. Do you know what? If you go on Instagram and do a picture of yourself holding up a piece of paper with the answer, just tag #SkipTheEndPodcast. That's the way you can enter now.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Do it through there.
Yeah.
And Facebook /SkipTheEndPodcast. Get on our wall, write the answer, inbox us, do whatever. Send a pigeon with a piece of paper sellotaped to it. You can win.
I'd recommend inboxing it because if you write on our wall, everyone else is going to see it.
Oh, yeah.
Foolish. Do you know what, lads? Shall we give up this podcast, Lark, and just start working for QVC? Because we're pretty good at this.
We are pretty good at this.
More competitions as well coming soon. But, hey, we've given you absolutely loads, and that's only because it's Christmas, so, you know.
Yeah, enjoy it, yeah?
Mark has emptied his sack on us all.
That is definitely all like Christmas now.
Listener questions time, boys.
Bring
Love
in.
This time. Almost as competition time.
I think it's my favourite bit of the show now, listener questions.
Not can after you... competition time.
Oh, well, that's true.
Well, I literally just keep them coming in. I'm not going to repeat where you do it. Just keep bringing them on because we like them a lot.
Skip to theend.co.uk for all your ways of entering us.
@STTEpodcast if you want to
tweet us. Right, first question via Facebook by Martin Price. Following on from your discussion about Monsters University being an average, pretty good prequel, is there any films out there that you would like to see a prequel made for?
Oh, that's a good one.
I'd love to see a prequel to Dumb and Dumber. Oh, wait, there was one. It was garbage.
That's a really good one.
Do you know what? I don't know if I'd want to see a whole film prequel, but I would like to, and obviously the guy who played him is dead now, but Heath Ledger's Joker was so great.
Yeah, you'd like to see where it came
from. That I would like to have seen the story of him, how he got to that point.
Yeah.
The actual truthful one instead of the bullshit he used to tell you all the way through Dark Knight, like the five different stories. Yeah. Which one was real? Come on, tell us.
The whole point of the Joker, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No real backstory.
No.
Sometimes I remember it one way, sometimes I remember it another.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it was a film that was just about him, you could have that whole unreliable narrator thing. So yeah. You might have different options, or, you know.
Again, not a whole film, but maybe V for Vendetta. Just to see a bit more about V's backstory. Mm-hmm. And where he
yeah,
came from.
Yeah.
I like, obviously, the whole point of the film is the anonymity and things like that. But it'd be cool just to see why he was there in the first place.
Yeah.
And what they tested on him, and a bit more about that, I guess.
Yeah.
Or even just after the accident, how he started to set himself up in the Shadow Gallery.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
Yeah, it'd be worth watching. Don't rip us off.
Yeah, copyright.
I'd probably quite like to find out before they actually join the force, Police Academy.
So it's just like 12 dudes walking around New York. Like
one might be a student, one might be a
TV
musician.
TV-wise, another episode of Rock and Chips would have been great. The prequel to Only Fools and Horses. Just to find out how Boise got the car dealership.
Yeah, that'd be really good. Any other films? Come on, everyone's got to pick two.
Martin Price just took
the time to go on facebook.com/skip-to-the-end.
Alright, it's Christmas, season of giving. Let's give them two answers each.
Alright. I don't know that I'd necessarily want to see it, because I think it would be disappointing. But you guys know how much I adore Blade Runner.
Yeah.
So I would like to see something setting that up, something coming before that, seeing what Deckard was like before that. But the issue with that is, was Deckard a replicant or not? Because if he was, he's only got a 4-year lifespan, so there ain't no prequel. True. But I would like to be in that world again. The only issue is, if you do have to cast someone, if they say he's not a replicant, he's a human, and there needs to be a younger Deckard, you need to then cast someone to be a young Harrison Ford. Okay. Good luck with that. Chris Pratt, you busy? You doing anything?
There you go, done. Simple. I guess mine would probably be, I was thinking maybe a film called Minutemen. A prequel to Watchmen.
Yeah.
So a film about the original guys and the Minutemen.
Yeah.
So we briefly kind of see them in the comics and the film about their kind of early careers and how America turned on the superheroes.
Yeah.
But maybe something where America was loving the superheroes and how that turned a bit more.
And they've done some prequel comics.
Comics they have, yeah.
Alan Moore wasn't involved, of course, because he's a grumpy old bugger, but he's a genius.
His artwork is there, and he wants his artwork to stand a certain comic
film. Oh, I don't disagree with anything he says. I'm with him all the way. So these prequels that they've done, that they've released, are without his input.
Yeah.
I think Dave Gibbons gave him his blessing, but it's without Moore. But, you know, they could use some of those, maybe. So, yeah, I'd want to see that.
Maybe just be a cool thing to see.
Yeah.
I would go with Clerks. Because I'd like to see what Randall and Dante were doing at their kind of young teenage years. If they're that corrupt at that age, what they were doing at 15 and 16.
It would be a 90-minute black and white film of them sat on a wall smoking weed and maybe skateboarding or something. It would
be cool.
Garbage.
It'll still be better than Dumb and Dumber 2.
That's got to be another Sandman moment.
No, come on. No way.
He's done it again.
He's done a mark again. Brilliant. Next question. Andrew McGregor. Name a couple of movies that are so bad that you'd actually refuse to watch them again. That's bad.
Make
so you want, sometimes we do say we'll give it another go.
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumber 2, if it's on telly in a couple
I'd
of years and I'm a bit drunk, I'll watch it.
Matrix 3, Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin I've rewatched for the camp value. It's funny. The Tree of Life, I'd rather be murdered than watch that again.
Oh, anything by Lars von Trier.
Correct.
But you probably would watch it, and there's a few
years. I wouldn't have thought so.
Never
mate, I couldn't sit through that again. The bit when she hammers like a nail into his cock. No, thanks.
I think I'd probably, if it was on, I'd be like, maybe it's not as bad, and after 2 minutes I'd turn it off again.
Yeah.
I would not rewatch the whole film. I couldn't.
Any film with Vin Diesel?
Triple X.
Do you love The Fast and the Furious?
No, I absolutely do not.
I thought you loved it because The Rock's in it.
I watched it because The Rock was in it. I didn't love it because The Rock was in it. It's garbage.
Okay.
Matrix 3, because that's the one I just want.
Matrix 3,
it's horrendous. Like, the worst experience I could ever put myself through.
Fair enough. Next question.
Jason Wilcox. This is quite
He used to play for Blackburn, didn't he?
Yeah,
he's a famous listener.
Jason Wilcox, big fan of the cast. 90s footballers.
Come on, man.
Pick who would win in a fight, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone, but you get to choose the character they've played previously from films to put against each other. So it could be like Rocky versus Bullwinkle. No, Rocky versus Predator or...
No offence, it's kind of a redundant question, because if you choose Arnie in Terminator form, there's no chance he's
kill everyone.
So let's try and get it the most even fight. That'd be weird, is that the Sky Sports, you wouldn't have to put your money on, or other channels, you could put your money on. So a realistic fight, so maybe Rambo versus...
I'm going to pick Stallone from Spy Kids 3.
Okay, that's pretty good. Yeah.
And Schwarzenegger as the governor of California. I think it would be a draw.
In honouring the Christmas theme,
yeah.
I'm going to choose Stallone from Rocky IV,
yeah,
and Schwarzenegger from Jingle All the Way.
Who could barely get past Sinbad, remember?
That is pretty good. I'm going to go Stallone as Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
He's pretty on
the I am the law!
Yep. versus Arnie as. In Twins.
He was there.
Yeah.
Adam was there on set.
He's a tough bugger to grow up with.
Two more questions.
Yeah.
Sarah Nutting via Twitter.
The Nutter, that's Sarah what I Nutting. Call
your top movies of 2014 and the worst film you saw in 2014.
Well, let's not do that now.
No.
Let's do that on episode 11 of the podcast, our first one of the new year.
We have got a week as well, so you never know. Something amazing might come out.
Something might come out. So let's do our best films. Well, should we do a top five?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll do our top five films of the year. Let's do our worst film of the year as well. And also, incidentally, on our website, which is...
skiptotheend.co.uk.
Good work. The three of us have been putting up best ofs. You know, I've put up a... my favourite comics and drama shows of the year. Adam, you've given us...
New TV shows for 2014.
New TV shows. Mark, I think you're going to do something about albums and whatnot.
Steelbooks.
Yeah, so keep checking on skiptotheend.co.uk for some non-movie-related best-ofs. But on the next episode, we'll do our favourite films of the year for sure.
And the final question from PuppyDog67, who must be a fan of Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2.
I think he might be.
Must be. If you could make a film that hasn't been made before from a video game, what would you choose?
Parappa the Rapper.
great game.
Paperboy, an hour and a half epic.
This is really difficult for me because I don't think that games
translate. The question wasn't your opinion.
Well, on our website, skiptotheend.co.uk, on Adam's little bio portion, you quite plainly state you don't like games.
Yeah, I just don't. Yeah.
Adam's the biggest gamer out of us all. So
Adam is a huge gamer.
I am well known for being a gamer.
Complete gamer.
But to be honest, if you were going to choose a story to put on screen from a video game, and I think they're looking into doing it, The Last of Us.
Yeah, I think that's in pre-production.
That's going to really work for me. I think that could actually be has a lot of potential in it. But if we talk about something that hasn't been announced, maybe something like Destiny. I love Destiny. I think it's been brilliant. It's one of those games. It has its flaws. It's not brilliant, but the whole storyline and the way it runs, they could really kind of get that on screen, at least in some form of a prequel to the actual game, in some form of something running concurrently with the game.
Yeah. I want to see Tetris the movie. That'd be pretty sweet. Well, hey, you know, they made Battleship, for fuck's sake, so they can make Tetris. But, Monopoly's coming out next year. Monopoly the movie.
But if you're looking at, I think about The Last of Us.
I wonder who's playing the dog.
About The Last of Us, they've not really cast anyone yet. I'm really hoping like Christopher Waltz gets involved in that or something like that. Christoph Waltz gets involved in something like that. That'd be great to see. But
I'm going to go with Earthworm Jim. That would be a cool film. Toe Jam and Earl the movie. That would be unreal. But if I had to really make a film.
Mario Kart the movie.
Golden Axe the film.
Golden Axe.
And I'd get the little fella that we talked about earlier.
Little person.
White him up. Get a little sack on his back and nick people's gold.
Hire a white little person. Don't need to white him up.
Could do.
Contact IMPWD.
But he'd be good. Get his little sack. Steal the treasure while they're sleeping. How good would that be? It'd be like a bit Game of Thrones with the dragons and... I'd get someone like Van Damme as the main blonde-haired guy.
I would get Chris Hemsworth.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Do you know what about Streets of Rage, the movie?
Streets of Rage
would be
pretty cool.
That would be unreal.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
This is a shout out for a future episode, a few episodes down the line. Usually our topic is a top three, our best this, our best that.
Worst.
Can we do a worst game, movies from video games?
Yeah.
That would be great fun. Should we do that in a few weeks?
But I'll try.
Let's do that as a future topic.
thanks again for all the questions. You know the usual places to come and get them. What's that website we've got again?
Skiptothend.co.uk.
That's probably the best one just to go to them all, really, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
You can find Podomatic on there, iTunes on there,
yep.
The articles on there. You can email us on there.
Yep.
Just go there, innit?
Just go there, yeah.
I'm going to go there now.
Shall we?
See you later.
I'm dreaming, dreaming of a white, white Christmas.
Christmas is the time for giving. And last week you remember me saying that we should have a secret Santa, yeah. You know? We're all quite close here. We've had a nice few
worst
months
secret
together.
Santa ever.
It's the least secret Santa because we all know who's giving who what.
I just wanted an excuse for us to all give each other one in front of everyone on the podcast. And at the end of the day, you know, we know each other quite well now, so I think we can go
we
out there,
out
find
nice
a present that we really like,
yeah.
That we know is worthwhile and that we're going to really enjoy. Because let's be honest about it, next week when we open in front of our parents, it's going to be socks and crap. So, yeah. Adam, Merry Christmas, mate.
Thanks, Mark.
Make sure you open it in front of the microphone so we get a real full effect. That's it.
We have genuinely wrapped these.
This is something I got online for you. Knew you'd love it.
What's it going to be? What's it going to be?
It's pretty good.
It's quite well wrapped, actually. It's like past the parcel.
It's your wrapping paper.
The book.
Last one, try.
It's pretty good.
Go on, say out loud what it is.
A book on Lars von Trier.
Yeah.
From World Directors. So, no. Thanks, Mark. If my heating breaks over Christmas, this would be great kindling for a fire.
I think it might be the book that kind of gets you into him.
There's about 300 pages there, mate, so get involved.
Enjoy
that.
Brilliant, that is. I mean, just hope he actually gets on the drugs again and starts creating more films.
I hope he talks about that time when he said a load of shit about him being a Nazi. The fucking idiot.
I hope he dies.
Yeah, and on that note...
The Christmas present is, since I got you that book, he's dead.
Genius.
But no, it's actually a good present. If you read it, it's got some really good insights, and it might change you.
Thanks, Mark.
The odds of him reading that are on a par of the odds of him watching Matrix 3.
That generally costs me 8 quid.
Why would you?
Because I couldn't find anything else.
Brilliant. Well, anyway, Mark, Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. It feels like a DVD, and I don't want DVDs. You know what?
I know you're pompous about your Blu-rays, but I can't afford Blu-rays.
Said, just get me a voucher.
Not happy with this.
That's a great rap job, if I do say so myself.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Lars von Trier film on DVD called The Idiots.
Explain what you can see on the front picture.
Hold on, I'll just check my book and get
fucking
a bit of that.
He's made 11 quid out of us here. The only thing I saw there is Dogma, which makes me think cool, but that's not
it's
what
not
I'm
Dogma.
Thinking.
Yeah.
This is a real cinema, original, hilarious, unexpected, affecting... Oh, it's fucking Empire. The Idiots. Basically, there's three people, looks like three females, asses out, running through...
Pretty sure they're fellas, mate.
Where?
These
oh yeah,
two.
Sorry.
Fellas chasing a woman down, clearly Lars von Trier.
Yeah. It's a
I love how Adam says try and we say Trier. I don't know if I think he's turned into one of the Starbucks set.
Yeah.
No, I just fucking hate the man.
He refused to pronounce his name correctly.
So this is a Tartan DVD. I'm a big fan of them, actually. Really good make of company, so thanks for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Let me give you a little read about what actually happens in The Idiots. Listen to this, right? A seemingly anti-bourgeois group of adults spend their time seeking their inner idiots to release their inhibitions. They do so by behaving in public as if they were developmentally disabled.
Filmed in Nuneaton.
The members of the group refer to this behaviour as spazzing. So, yeah, enjoy that. Merry Christmas.
I'm actually quite annoyed by this.
Why? You wanted that?
No, because...
Oh, it's even subtitled. Fuck's sake.
Yeah, this isn't one of his famous ones with A-list stars. This is some Danish bollocks he did in the 90s, so enjoy.
I love the fact how much we've upset each other.
I'm the only one that's actually got Ben a serious present.
We better bloody be. So if it's Antichrist...
Just to let you know, Ben doesn't own any DVDs.
Fucking mall rats! Mall rats, mall twats.
That cost me 50p.
It was worth every penny, clearly.
It was.
Oh, God.
So I hope you enjoy that.
No, I won't. I've seen it before. It's atrocious.
But in all seriousness, that's a joke present. I have got you a real present.
This
hey,
is the worst
what
bit.
Is it?
This is annoying.
What, you've actually bought me a second present?
Yeah, and it's
I've
awesome.
A proper present here.
Oh,
£5 off Amazon.
Lovely stuff. What we got?
Hang on.
It feels like it might be a graphic novel.
Other books are available.
He's only gone and bloody bought me Civil War graphic novel. I've read Civil War, and it is unreal. I don't own it in graphic novel form, so I am absolutely chuffed with that, Adam. High fives all round.
How
thanks,
annoying
bro.
Is that? I've got this piece of shit, and you've got that. I want Swivel War.
Swivel I'm not War? Even, yeah. What's the Swivel War?
It's this new way of working out.
That is an absolutely fucking ace graphic that, novel, that is.
That is a tremendous... That is a tremendous present, Adam, and I genuinely do appreciate that.
Thank you.
And I'm going to read the frig out of that.
It's weird actually seeing you with something you haven't torrented.
I don't know what torrent means. Is that some Danish word you heard in the Lars von Trier film?
Honestly, now, I don't mind we're recording. This might be boring for the listeners. This is the biggest pile of shit I've ever seen. The back of the cover. Do you know what I'm saying here now? Underneath, there's a picture of some guy with, like, straw in his hair, and it looks like he's eating a poo.
Yeah, and it looks like Jason Segel, but it's not him. It's some Danish prick.
I can't believe you've wasted your money on this.
$4.99 that cost me, mofo.
I'm going to walk in to Starbucks and just leave this in the car.
You are going to get so much ass in Starbucks. If people see you reading that...
Can you do me one favour? I'll watch this piece of shit. You watch more ass again, because we've got time. Adam, just read one chapter and let me know. Because look, hang on, there it is! There's the same picture. We'll put that on Instagram
We've got to Instagram that picture of these people with their asses out from the idiots.
So, that's Christmas, everyone.
Ho, ho, ho.
We should actually
say... What are you annoyed about? Marvel Civil War!
Yeah, I've got a sweet present.
We actually need to say thank you and Merry Christmas to all the listeners as well.
Yeah, thanks.
He's been in Civil
War.
Yeah,
because he's been in Civil War. He's done with the podcast.
Genuinely, you've all been unbelievable. This isn't kissing your ass. It's been unreal, and we've only done this for like 3 months. And
the response has been fantastic. Yeah.
For our Birmingham Comic Con special, we've had nearly 250,000 plays. That's a quarter of a million plays. That is mental.
It's unreal.
Thank you, Mum, for hitting F5.
We love you.
But no, yeah, it's unbelievable. Please keep listening. Next year, we've got some amazing films to review. Do you know what? Let's announce now what film we're reviewing for the next episode.
On our first podcast of 2015, we're reviewing Birdman.
Which is, do you know what I mean? That is
Michael Keaton.
Year.
People talking about Michael Keaton, best thing he's ever done. Edward Norton is being lined up for an Oscar. Emma Stone, people are loving. It's going to be cool.
Twat with the beard from the...
Yeah, Twat with the beard.
It's literally Zach Galifianakis. It's already being touted as one of the best films of 2015.
After that, we've got films like Whiplash, going all the way through to...
Age of Ultron coming next
Age
year,
of Ultron
Star
coming.
Wars 7 in 2015. I mean, keep listening, because it's just going to get better and better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, cheers then.
Thank you.
And hit us up on www.skiptotheend.co.uk.